Okay, good morning. Morning. Welcome back, and sorry, Caleb, you're going to have to. If you will turn to Colossians chapter 2. So in the wake of Easter, we talked last week about the resurrection. And on Easter, I taught about the power of the resurrection. And Paul says that I would know the power of the resurrection and the sufferings of Christ. And we talked last week that as we looked in Colossians 2, that the power of the resurrection was more than just Jesus coming up from the tomb, but that it also gives into us new life. So the word says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so we see this, the power of the resurrection actually working in the lives of his people. When last week we were looking at the church in Colossae, we saw that there was a group of people in the church that sought to put limits or to negate the life that had been given them. So imagine if someone were to come to you and say, well, you know, I know you go to CV First, and that's just wonderful, but you wear blue. And I'm sorry, but you just can't get into heaven if you wear blue or green or yellow. Or maybe it's because of a sports team that you support, right? We're all Oakland Raiders fans. Whatever it may be, someone starts parsing your life. And remember, if it really doesn't take much digging to dig into somebody's heart and find something that is not something they just want to lay out. You know, when we come to church, we put on clothes, hopefully. We put on makeup. Probably the most important thing we put on is a smile, right? Whether we want to smile or not, we're not going to show that we don't want to smile. And we come to church and we present ourselves a certain way. But maybe our makeup covers a little bit of acne. Maybe our clothes cover some scars. And maybe our smile covers some things that we really don't want other people to know. And it's funny because sometimes those people with the most to hide are the ones that point out the flaws of others the most. And it's really what is happening here. We see a group in the church, and they're looking at the Christians who weren't previously Jews. And they're saying, you know, you really have to be a Jew before you become a Christian. And you really have to be circumcised, and you really have to eat a certain way, and you have to drink certain things, and you really have to be careful. You have to share in our prayer life. If you've ever been told, if you just had a little more faith, if you just went to church more, if you read the Bible more, if you listened to this podcast or that podcast, if you spent more time listening to this preacher or that preacher, you would really have an opportunity maybe to just raise your spirituality just a little more. So Paul responds this way in Colossians 2:16. He said, therefore, so in light of what Christ has done for us and us being new creatures, Therefore, let no one pass judgment. So when we read the Word of God, you're like, well, you only got four words into it, okay? Words are important. And they're very important when we're looking at Scripture. So when we see the word therefore, I'm sure you've all heard, the first thing you do is what? See what it's there for, right? So therefore, in light of what God has done in our lives, in the power of the resurrection, let no one pass judgment. Stop there. So this isn't pass judgment. This isn't like, wow, you know, you really like that team? Gosh. Okay, that's a form of passing judgment, but that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, don't let anyone pass judgment. Don't let anyone decide you're not worthy of going to heaven, that you're not worthy of winning the prize. So this isn't just pass judgment as in, I don't like that. This is past judgment as in eternal judgment, a judgment really that is reserved for God and for God alone. He's saying, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Literally, he's looking at these people who are judging the others, saying, well, of course, who keeps the Sabbath? Well, the Jews keep the Sabbath. And of course, Jesus taught, well, is the Sabbath made for the person or the person made for the Sabbath? And of course, the Sabbath is made for us. He said, take a day and rest. Dedicate that day to the Lord. Does it have to be Saturday? In our teaching, we would say no, but you need to have one day where your body regenerates itself, where you get that rest, one day where you contemplate who God is and who he is in our life. This passage can be misinterpreted as well. This isn't a passage that gives free rein. It doesn't say, eat anything you want. Drink anything you want, drink to excess. Of course, in Romans 6, Paul said, well, you know, there's those of you who are saying, where sin abounds, grace abounds. Amen? Okay. So they're saying, well, if grace is given when we sin, we should sin more. Right? More grace is always better. And so if grace is given when we'll make a party of it and let grace abound all the more. And Paul says, may it never be. The Bible teaches there are some things that we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to drink in excess. Bible says, is drinking okay? Okay. Is getting drunk okay? If you're drunk, it better be on the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then we're like, well, yeah, you know, those people who imbibe too much as they're eating a Twinkie, right? Because the other one is gluttony. I avoid that sin. I don't like to teach on gluttony. Do you know why? Right? We like to point out other people's sins. What we don't like is to do that in the mirror. Right? Because then our sins become real to us. He says, no, don't condemn others. Don't allow people to condemn you. Don't let them tell you you're not a Christian because of the version of the Bible you use, by the number of times you show up to church, by the food you eat. Now, squid's a whole different story. If you eat squid, your salvation is questionable. Raw fish? No. The Bible says no. It's not based on what you eat or what you drink. Remember the whole picture of God showing Peter, what I have made clean, don't let anyone label it as unclean. Whether it be food or drink, whether it be Jew or Gentile. So often we lose sight of what God is saying. It was funny, I went to the youth group this week, and Morgan was teaching. She did a great job. Is Morgan here this morning? And here I just got done saying, right? Salvation depends on whether or not you go to church. But she was teaching on the first part of Job. And remember, Satan walks up and he enters the throne room and there's God. And Satan's casting accusations. Satan always seeks to disqualify the called. He always does it. He loves to nitpick people. Well, you could be saved if you didn't have this in your past. You could be saved if you didn't have this flaw. God says, don't let anyone do that. He's not in the business of allowing Satan to do it. He says, hey, did you consider Job? Satan's like, what? You won't let me anywhere near him. God says, I'll let you near him, but he's righteous. He has faith. He's keeping his eyes on me. So when people are casting those arrows, our eyes should be on him. Verse 2:17, these are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So it was the law that was in existence was a shadow of what was to come. But of course, that shadow was fulfilled when Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. The law was in place until the Messiah would come. In 2:18, let no one disqualify you. Now, I don't know, how many watched the Kentucky Derby yesterday? There were a few. How many placed bets on it? The winning horse was disqualified. He got in the wrong lane. It was the first time in the history in 145 years. God is saying, Paul is saying to the church, let no one disqualify you. Insisting on asceticism and worship of angels. Going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. He's saying, look, there's these little details that people will use to disqualify you. Asceticism is pleasures. It's what we eat. It's what we drink. It's our physical sensuality with our married partner. And people would say, well, you shouldn't be doing that. There are certain times that you should refrain from that. Or maybe you're not fasting enough. Or you're eating things you shouldn't eat. Or drinking things you shouldn't drink. And he's saying, don't let someone disqualify you because you don't meet their standards. Because the focus isn't on what you're eating and what you're drinking or other standards they may put. Rather, the focus should be on Jesus Christ and on him crucified. He is the head that nourishes the body. It's from him that we get our marching orders. It's not from the noise that comes at us. Now, we need to be willing to listen. Sometimes people come up and say, you know, maybe you're a little harsh, or maybe you've gone a little askew somewhere. It's good to take wise counsel. The Bible doesn't say don't take wise counsel. It says let no one disqualify qualify you. Don't let them tell you that because of what you eat or drink, you're not saved. Paul is talking, it's important to remember, both to Christians and about Christians. So these are Jews that are attacking non-Jewish or Gentile believers, saying, if you would just make this switch. Notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say, don't have anything to do with the Jews. He doesn't say Judaism is bad. Remember, at this time, the church is a sect of Judaism. It's part of that. He's just saying, you are also a part of the family of God. Colossians 2:20, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. In other words, if we're dead in Christ to the elemental spirits, these rules and laws and regulations, why are we still holding ourselves to them? And more importantly, why are we allowing others to judge us accordingly? And it's hard, right? Because a lot of times it's kind of what we're used to. If you grow up in a home where you're taught, don't eat this or don't eat that, and yet the Bible says, you know, actually it's okay, I can do that. It's hard to kind of break that. That's kind of one thing. But it's another thing if someone is sitting by you and telling you, you can't eat this or you can't drink that or you can't do this. If we're dead to these elemental spirits, if we're dead to these rules and regulations in Christ, why are we allowing them to disqualify us? So it's really a great note of encouragement. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to be in a situation where people are casting judgments upon you and dispersions upon you. But still, our identity is found in Christ. Remember, Paul says, keep your eye on the finish line. Aim for that. Have this goal. Finish the race. Colossians 2:23. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgences of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. In other words, this is a man-made religion. Don't let a man-made religion influence our life in Christ. Again, we go back to Romans 6. We're not supposed to live a life of abuse. We're not supposed to be living a life as though what we eat and drink doesn't matter. Right? There are actually some stipulations even in the New Testament. We're not supposed to eat what? Anyone know? Blood. We're not supposed to eat blood. Also, we're not supposed to eat Brussels sprouts. I might have made that one up. Although it does say in Romans, the weak eat vegetables only. It does actually say that. Still, our marching orders, our focus is on Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. We're not supposed to be following the marching orders of someone else who's teaching us something that isn't in here. So let's talk about this for a minute. This is what we live by. Amen? Am I allowed to add anything to it? Am I allowed to take anything away from it? This is God's revelation to us. Begins and it ends here. If someone is teaching you something that isn't in here, you know it's okay to walk away. Say, I'm sorry, I reject that. That is not in the Word of God. Now, how do you know if something is in the Word of God or not? You have to read it, right? Now, I've got Bibles at home that collect dust. That's because I have a lot of Bibles at home and I don't read them all. But the ones I read don't collect dust because I read them. You need to read the Word of God. You need to be studying the Word of God. When someone walks up and says something or misquotes a scripture, you should know it, right? The Bible says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. You can only do that if you're very familiar with the Word of God. When I pray so that the Holy Spirit will talk to me and tell my spirit what I need to be doing, what direction I need to be going. But how do I recognize His voice? Because His voice is found in here, right? It's like with your mom, with my mom. I can pick up the phone. Of course, now it flashes across the screen. But even before caller ID came out, I could pick up the phone, and she just had to say one word, and I knew it was Mom. How did I know that? Because I talked to her. I recognize her voice. She's familiar to me. Even the word choices she uses, her mannerisms, when she pauses, they're familiar to me. It should be the same way with us and the Word of God. It should be familiar to us. The word choices, what God would say, keeping our eyes ahead. If then you have been raised, so this is 3:1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Our mind should be there. We're supposed to seek that. Remember, seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God. And? Whose righteousness? His right. Oh, wait a minute. Not their righteousness, right? His righteousness. Our righteousness is found there, not in the balcony, because I'm looking at some of the people in the balcony. Our righteousness is found in Jesus Christ. We're to seek His righteousness. Set your minds on, in 3:2, set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be seeking the things that He wants us to have. I don't know how many people over the years I've talked to and I've seen who wanted a certain house or a certain car. And they get that house or they get that car, they get the thing that they've always set their heart on, and they're not satisfied. Because the desires of our heart are founded in our spirit. So it's only when we're fulfilling the true desires of our spirit that we're fulfilled. That has to come through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God gives us the desires of our heart. And so oftentimes we're like, oh, that's awesome. I desire the newest Tesla. Wrong reading of that scripture, right? It's God, what do you desire for me? And let God give us the desire for our heart. And then it's on that thing that we seek. Well, we already know what the desire is that God has given our heart. And that desire is that we pursue the things of God, that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, that we seek heavenly things, and that we not allow the white noise to impact us, to tear us down, to break us apart. He says, you've been, from last week, you've been given a new life in Christ. This week, don't be deceived. Don't let others take it away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that you've been so faithful in teaching us the things we need to see, that we need to hear, the things that we need to know. Father, it's so easy to be distracted for the shiny things to call us away, to get our attention. Father, help us not to be drawn away by shiny things, by the latest thing, by what's new, the newest philosophy, the newest thought, the newest diet program, but rather help us keep our mind focused on the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because in you we put our trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.